Hey, my name is Launders, and you're listening to TCR.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Center Ring, also known as TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. I will be one of your hosts for this evening's journey. My name is Tim K. At Pirate Mushroom on Twitter. You can follow along. My co-pilot for the evening is Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
What's going on? You didn't give me a countdown, and I heard the music for Launders, and I thought we were running a little test run, and
no.
Then, no.
We're doing it live.
No, we're going straight into it today.
Is there a light out by you? Looks darker.
Yeah.
Over there.
Yeah, right okay. Above me, actually.
All right. I thought so, but I wasn't 100% sure.
My personality's bright enough.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. New chairs in the studio, lights going out. What is going on?
Never mind the constant buzz inside of my headset.
Things are falling apart. Things are falling apart for the studio that we use absolutely free. How dare they? Don't keep us up. Anyways, we have a wonderful show scheduled for you today. Probably the best episode ever. Episode 41 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. We will always have e-news at the end. We will talk about PEA. Professional Esports Association, whatever you want to call it. We're going to break down this new league organization.
It's all of the above.
All of the above. We're going to break it down for you in the middle of the show. And to start, though, we do have a little bit of CSGO to get to. As always, Star Ladder Season 2. That did end up wrapping up over the weekend. Star Ladder Season 2, SI Ladder. What's the official naming on it? Don't you have it?
Oh,
there?
My goodness.
It's a book.
Star Ladder I-League Star Series Season 2.
All right. There you go. If they could make it longer, I'm sure they would, but I'm sure eventually they were like, guys, we can't fit it on the screen anymore.
Well, I guess it's actually named Star Series, but they've had the two different sponsors, so they put both of those in front of it. But yeah, it's ridiculous.
You gotta rep your sponsors, man. You can't let them upset, right? That's why we have so many of them. Anyways, it was a pretty good little tournament. I'd say so myself. Lots of upsets. Just looking here, I mean, you gotta get to the obvious, right? Normally we would save like the big news for like in the middle or for the end of discussion. But if we're just going with our normal method of kind of starting from the bottom to the top, the big news to me is kind of at the bottom. That's with Virtus Pro and Na'Vi finishing dead last at this tournament.
I'm sticking like, with Virtus Premier.
I wasn't, like, that's not an error. Virtus Pro and Na'Vi dead last. They joined the bottom with Hellraisers and MVP.
And the teams that they lost to, both of them, they had no business losing to. Especially with Na'Vi. This is supposed to be super Na'Vi with simple...
Okay, with that expectation...
All the skill. Yes.
With that expectation, I would concur. I will tip my hat, though, to Tyloo, because they're a wild card. Tyloo has that potential to be an upset team. Like they've upset teams before at tournaments.
And you know,
in the rare times that you see them in this big international style tournament, they do tend to upset.
It's kind of interesting because it always seems like it's their first match and they win upset, and then the next match they just can't compete with the teams again. Like people are like, oh wait, we actually do have to pay attention to these guys.
Like they were like, you guys, you know what? YOLO, let's go have fun. And then they realize, like, uh-oh.
We won. Now we have to win.
Okay, now we have the ball. What do we do with it?
But it does seem like every time that they have literally caused an upset at each major or, I guess, big international tournament that they've been in.
They always cause a splash, right? They're always at they're always in the headlines at one point in the tournament.
Yeah, but then you
for
never
a team
hear
you don't see very for you're right. I think you were just about to say we don't
between
hear
the tournaments, you don't hear anything about them. I see the odd post on Reddit every once in a while of like Tyloo's practicing blah blah blah.
Right.
But
that might have something to do with that they are an Asian team, so that doesn't help any situation being from China
I'm just saying, we heard about the Renegades for a long time, and they were Australian. Granted, they were living in the U.S.
Well, they were living here, and geography, yes, they are closer to China than they are to us. Culturally, though, they are way closer to us to where, like, I think it's harder for China. This is doing zero research and having zero knowledge of this.
This is going
to
be awesome.
I have to assume it is more difficult for a Chinese team to try to break into a Western civilization scene like CSGO. Like, they can break in and be in Dota, right? They can be a top team in Dota because other top teams are playing in China that everyone wants to watch and see because they're the best in the world.
Right.
In this case, they're the best in China. China, as Trump would say. So who else do they have to go with, right? There's no one there to help portray them on a pedestal other than these tournaments and themselves. It also helps, though, that this was actually supposed to be... This tournament was actually supposed to... Oh, hold up. Am I wrong here? I guess I read this wrong. It was in China. It moved from China to... Oh, no. Yeah, I was right. Okay. It was supposed to be in China, this tournament.
Okay.
And it was moved to Ukraine.
Because? Is there any reasoning?
The G20 summit, which you probably have a better idea off your head on what that is, because you pay a lot more attention to important things.
G20 summit. I don't...
Do you know what the G20... It is. The G20 Hangzhou Hao summit was the 11th meeting of Group of 20.
And that was going on in China, so they moved it from China to the Ukraine?
They moved the Star Ladder, yeah.
Yeah.
They did not kick out the G20 summit with the likes of what appears to be important people.
I was going to say, those headshots suggest that they're government employees of some kind.
I don't honestly know who any of these people are, but they have a lot of presidents and prime ministers behind their names.
So you know what?
I'm going to assume...
You know what? Esports, that's disrespectful.
It's up on the rise. Did they not know...
This is esports.
Well...
They need to respect it. I'm totally kidding.
Fallen wasn't there, so I guess they felt like they could disrespect it. I thought esports was on the up and up, but apparently prime ministers and presidents, they take
those
priority.
Jokers.
So they double booked. Ouch. But anyways...
That explains why there's two Chinese teams there.
Yes. Right. That explains why. And what would normally never have a Chinese team, if it's going to be in China, you got to give tip of the hat to them and give them two roster spots. Also, though, you had Fair wasn't in it for SK, who decided not to attend because of that. I don't know timetable wise if they decided to opt out before or after Cold Zero's
tirade against Gaze and teammates. Gaze and Showtime, not teammates. It was just Showtime he was going after.
How can I just piss off a lot of people at once? I don't know if they dropped out before or after. I'm sure there is no way that we could do the research and find that out. But then you had Envious. They were using a sub. Sixer was a stand-in for NBK, who was unable to attend the event. Liquid and Fnatic dropped out, which is why Hellraisers and Godsent came in. You have Heroic, who was Team X, which was old SK. Okay. And then, if you recall, this was like recent, in the last 2 weeks, Optic Gaming beat Cloud9 to qualify for this tournament. But they ended up dropping out, and so did Immortals, which is what allowed Cloud9 and Flipside to get in. And then SK ended up dropping out, which gave FaZe a clan.
I wonder if it's a function of there being so many tournaments that teams are just dropping out of tournaments now because they don't want to fly to Russia or China.
It's probably a mixture of both, where there's a lot of tournaments, so they're like, hey, we can miss this one. We've brought that up before, where teams decide to bail out, a la DreamHack Austin, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have as big of teams, and probably for that reason. But then, at the same time, the teams that did take over, for the most part, capitalized on their second life, such as Cloud9 winning their group, which was made up of Envious, VG, and Virtus Pro.
You know, I was going to say, it's nice to see when some of these top teams drop out that Tier 2 teams get a chance to show up. Cloud9 did a great job
in doing so. And then flip side, they made it out of their groups. They were able to take out, they did beat FaZe. They beat FaZe in the group finals. So they ended up beating FaZe. So they were able to capitalize on what they were never even supposed to be a part of. So it's good to see those Tier 2 teams take advantage, like you were saying. I did want to, though, discuss Cloud9. Because last episode, I was saying how it would be interesting. You know, they were going on a ridiculous streak. I think, what was it? Like 19-1 for the month of August?
Did I remember? I remember you saying it was 16-1, but I didn't know they won more after that.
They ended August 18-1. So far in September, they are 7-2. Okay, one of those losses being to Immortals in the North Cup. What was that Toronto tournament called? North Arena?
North Arena, yeah.
Where they had the huge controversy of...
That whole arena was run poorly, apparently.
Like, I wish we did an episode last week, but because of the holiday, we decided to take off. But that was such a fiasco. Which, look, I mean, they're not huge. It wasn't like ESL or anything ran. It was a smaller tournament, so you'll get that. But it was a mess. It's too late to really talk about it now.
The thing that bothers me is it was a smaller tournament, but they still put effort. I mean, Launders was there casting. I mean, people were there, you know, that do a lot of Counter-Strike stuff were there doing that. And it was just a bunch of, like, epic failures one after another. Anyway.
Their eyes were hungrier than their stomachs. Launders was also at Star Ladder behind Launders calling the game. I love Launders. Such a great guy. And you know what's funny is you would think like, oh, maybe he's just nervous on camera. No, that's Launders.
That's just him.
We met him in Austin and he's...
That's just him.
Hey, how's it going? Okay.
Oh, there's actually proof that we met him because we used him as the opener.
This is true, yeah. We got a liner from him, and he's awesome. He is number one in the TCR fan club. But nonetheless, so Cloud9, going back to Cloud9. 7-2 so far in September. So continuing that streak of doing really well so far to the point where HLTV, in the way that they sort their rankings out, they're in the top five. Right now, Cloud9 is in the top five. According to HLTV, which seems to be the majority go-to for rankings. They ended up, like I said, really taking their group without any issue. They beat Envious 16-8. They beat VG 16-4. Call it a night and move on. Then they ended up meeting NIP in the semifinals. Okay, because they beat Flipside 2-1 in the quarters. And this is where it all kind of fell apart. I was watching this Sunday morning, very, very early. But this is where it kind of all fell apart to Cloud9. Remember how I was saying last week, it's going to be interesting to see how they play in an international tournament again, because really their month of August was beating up on NA teams, which for the most part are all pretty much Tier 2 teams.
Yeah.
Right? Like, even Immortals, albeit can have moments of really goodness, is a Tier 2 team. And I told you this yesterday, that Ninjas made Cloud9 look like Cloud9.
It's So I'm not even sure. Yeah, I'm not even sure it was ninjas in general. Get Right apparently decided he was done messing around and wanted to play. I mean, in the match with Nip, not a single Cloud9 member was positive, right? The closest thing you had was Automatic, who was -3 with a rating of 0.91, all the way down to Skadoodle, who had a rating of 0.69. Like, that's not acceptable for a pro-level match. Get Right, on the other hand, went positive 22 and almost dropped 50 kills on two maps. He was at 49 and 27 over two maps. I mean, it's not even like they didn't even make it to Overpass. Dust2 is kind of a toss-up. Cloud9 had been winning a lot of matches on that one.
Cobblestone was an odd pick for Cloud9.
Yeah,
like, Cobblestone, they have a lot better maps. And, you know, even in a post-interview, that question was brought up to, I believe it was Shroud, and or maybe I saw it on Twitter. Either way, Shroud was saying how overall they were very frustrated. There was bad communications. The map pick wasn't really what, I guess, the game plan was. So, it looked like old Cloud9, right? Where they, once they lost that momentum, there was zero leadership in game to try to adjust it. And especially on Cobble, man, it was, Nip was in full control. They won Cobble 16-7. And I mean, it was never even like a question of if this was going to happen. By halftime, you could just see the look on Cloud9's face that it was done. Like, it was a formality that they had to continue playing because Cloud9 was done.
It was over.
They were tilted. They were frustrated. And we all know that when you are frustrated, it kind of just goes out the window. For whatever reason, in esports and video games in general.
Do you remember if they ever took a timeout at all? A tactical timeout? I mean, I have to assume they did at some point, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm
it.
Sure they did. I don't recall offhand. There's no reporting on that. So I'm sure they had to have taken a timeout because, like I said, it wasn't even close to being like a, like, it wasn't even strategy. It was full momentum. Nick was winning on full momentum. And afterwards, whoever the stage host was, some Russian Ukraine guy, keep in mind, it might have sounded belittling that I just said that, but he was actually really good. I enjoyed him. He was interviewing, I believe it was Freiberg, and basically he asked Freiberg, he was like, hey, you know, after the match, you didn't seem that excited. What was the deal? Like, you just look kind of normal. You almost look frustrated. And Freiberg kind of danced around the question, and the host was like, okay, well, let me ask it again differently. Why aren't you happy? Which I'll give that host credit. Like, so most hosts or interview people, like, when you ask a question and you don't get the answer you're looking for, you're kind of like, all right, thanks, bud. I'm just going to go ask a different question. But this guy was not hired for his looks. All right. He was asking the hard-hitting questions. And he asked again, and Freiberg was like, I mean, this is nothing to us. Like, we've been here before. Which I guess it was the first time they've played Cloud9 in like a year or something crazy like that. I was not aware of that. So they were saying, you know, at first we were maybe worried because they might have new looks that we haven't seen. But in the end, it was, we've seen them before, and we're not here to win the semifinals. We're here to win the finals. It's nothing that big a deal to us. So they definitely backed up their words in the finals because they met G2, who ended up being Dignitas in the semifinals. Which, that was, again, just a very not really eventful semifinals. G2 won that. So in the finals, you had Nip versus G2. G2 never dropped a map this entire tournament. So going into the finals, you had Sadakis and everyone was saying, like, oh, this is, you know, Nip is stealing this one. Because they were playing really well against G2. In fact, on the first map, Cash, they won 16-7. Okay, they were pulling out some old school strats. Like, in the very first pistol round, Nip went super aggressive. Super aggressive. And it caught G2 off guard. And they were going off and saying how, oh, I can't, you know, this is going to be, you know, Nip's tournament to steal. And, I mean, what do you constitute stealing a tournament?
The first premier tournament ever won with somebody as a stand-in.
So are we weighing Michael Ayle standing in for Piff?
I mean, for Piff, I mean, that's...
Being that big a deal?
Just for strategy purposes, I think it's a big deal. But when you run kind of basic setups and you've got guys like Forrest and Getright that are just
going ham. And he's played with you before. Like, he used to play with those guys. So it's not like going in super cold. I mean, it's...
I mean, yeah, it's not like they've never played together before, but it's been a while.
And in a tournament where Na'Vi and Virtus Pro got dead last, like, that opens the door for a lot of things. Now, I guess their point was is that they could steal the tournament because G2 was playing so well, not dropping a single round. In my eyes, though, and I get by the rankings, it's not like this. To me, NIP is still over G2. Like, I don't see G2 as one of these dominating top-tier teams.
Which is weird, because they have a lot of finishes similar to Na'Vi, right? So they kind of have the same situation where they always get to the semis or get to the finals and then lose. Now, in like the major tournaments and things like that, they always seem to struggle. It seems like the pressure gets to them. But remember, just a little while ago, they were the only ones that were able to beat SK several times in a row, which I'm sure boosted their rankings.
Well, and they're still number three on HLTV,
yeah,
which I'm sure is benefiting from
those wins against SK at ECS. Yeah.
But for me, and I guess I still feel like those wins, I mean, where they shot up, much like Cloud9's doing, right? They had a really good couple of months, shot up in the rankings, and that's going to keep them there for a while. But in my mind, I still think G2 is a very beatable team, and I would definitely put NIP or Na'Vi over them.
I agree.
I view G2 the way I view Virtus Pro, which oddly enough is number 2 and 3 in HLTV's rankings. I do not see them, like, if you were listing the teams, I would not put them at number 2 and 3.
We should do that. Let's do a power ranking one time.
Only because of what do I want to say? The potential to beat them? Does that make sense? Like, I don't view them as a top tier team. Like, they're not a lock.
You're talking about G2, right?
Or Virtus Pro. Yeah. Either one, they're not a lock-in team for me. Like, you always have to think and be like, okay, so what's the situation here? What's on, first off, what's on the line? That's going to tell me if Virtus Pro is going to come in to play. Is it a LAN? And how big is the tournament? How many people are going to be watching?
I don't know. Now that Fnatic is shuffled around and moved over to Godsent, and they did not play very well, not terrible, but not very well either. Actually, they didn't even make it out of groups, did they?
No, they didn't. They didn't even make it out of...
All right, so they did play terribly. I mean, the only team I can think of off the top of my head that I would call a lock is SK.
And maybe that's why these other teams, like Cloud9 or VP, G2, maybe that's why you see them at these higher ranks, because...
There's been that shuffle
The European quote-unquote shuffle is helping out these teams that weren't a part of it, which helps for a lot of whatever site you're looking at. It can help the rankings, because every site does their rankings a little different. We kind of look at HLTV to be the main one we look at, but overall NIP dominated in the finals, took it 2-0. You have G2, the only person that even went positive was Scream. Everybody at least broke even on NIP, exist going 37-37. But it was, I mean, no point of return. Michael Ayle stepped in to fill in for the op role. He came in swimmingly, and now, of course, everyone is saying, well, when are they going to sign Michael Ayle back? Which
can Piff entry frag? I mean, if he's got the skill, he might be an upgrade over Freiburg.
You know how they say in football, like, the worst thing that can happen for a quarterback is getting injured and then the backup performing well?
Yeah.
That is by far more of a concern in esports.
Well, yeah, because people are willing to change their team at the drop of a hat.
I mean, and one good tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, you kicked them off for a reason. Remember this.
Look at you, Team Liquid. How many roster changes did you have in like 4 months?
I mean, you get kicked off a team for a reason. Then you go back and fill in. And then all of a sudden you win one tournament and it's, look at Adren, right?
They didn't even win.
They
got the semifinals.
They kicked off Adren, brought him back on, did well for a tournament. We were like, okay, Adren, come back. And then he started performing poorly again, which was something that they already knew.
This is why you got rid of him in the first place.
Stick with your guns. You were right the first time. It's okay. It's okay just to admit that, you know, you had a good run. We had a good thing going, but it's time to go your separate ways. It's okay. It's okay. But guess what? They can't really go their separate ways too much anymore. Because...
Why?
Now there's a whole other league or organization that these...
Okay, all right.
That these teams need to worry about.
Expert transition.
Yeah, but now, see, now it's not, though, because you called it out. So you just threw a wrench into the system. But that's okay. Because now there's a whole new, what is it? Organization, league,
I mean, I just, I say
governing body.
I say association because the acronym has association in it.
We're talking about P, of course. P-E-A. What's the word
awful
on the street?
Name.
The acronym is awful. I will give you that.
It's an awful, awful
The
name.
Acronym is awful. The actual name, the Professional
Esports
Association, is good. That sounds very good. The acronym, okay, I'll give you that. Sure, whatever. But moving on, the actual thing, though, what is it? Because you read the press release.
I actually have it up in front of me just in case.
Whoa.
September 8th, it was announced the Professional Esports Association launches with quote-unquote top North American teams. Those teams are, we talked about one of them, Cloud9, Team Solo Mid, Team Liquid, Counter Logic Gaming, Immortals, NRG, and Complexity. So these teams have banded together and created something very, 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 in my opinion, almost nearly identical to the World Esports Association that ESL announced probably, what was that, like 4 months ago, 3 months ago?
Three, remember, four, I can't remember because it was
like this real big,
went.
Like riot.
It came and went so
and then
fast.
Nothing. Nothing. They shut their Twitter down. No one's heard from them. It is another association focusing on CSGO specifically that is attempting to regulate the ecosystem that the teams are in. They are doing it. The structure is slightly different from what you have with WESA. In that the Professional Esports Association is not only helping to regulate the tournaments and like the load that the teams have, that the players have, but they're also introducing their own league that they have full control over.
The teams?
Yeah, so the okay. teams, so the Professional Esports Association is starting their own league that they have
so
full
they have
control
full
over.
Control over. So help me out then. So E-League, any ownership? There's no ownership in E-League.
ECS is the only
is
one.
Part ownership.
ECS is sharing part okay. ownership with the teams. But this is fully teamed owned. A fully team owned. The league is. I don't really see it any different as WESA and ESL Pro League.
But now there's a lot of people saying, though, it is. So, because when it was first announced, everyone was saying, like, oh, this is great. From what I saw. But then the first thing that came to mind is, aren't we all against this? Like, weren't we just complaining about how WESA is here to ruin esports as we know it, and all these owners own several other things, and they're all part of other organizations and everything here? Weren't everyone as a community just about to riot about ownerships owning too much?
Yeah, and if you even look at so I've compared it to that from day one, but you actually just saying the word riot, everyone complains about Riot and the way they govern the teams and stuff like that in the LCS, right? And this is the same situation as you're having, you have this governing body that's going to take over, it's going to create a league, and it is eventually going to try and lock teams into the league so they can't compete elsewhere, so there's no competition. Teams have even more incentive to do it now. Players do too.
Is Renegades a part of this? Are they on that list?
They are not on that list right now.
Okay. And SK is not. And that's,
SK is not, but the Immortals are.
But see, so SK is technically a European ownership.
Right. That might be why weren't included.
Right. Okay. So that might be a technicality on why they're not.
The biggest difference between this and some of the other associations that have been announced is they actually already announced profit sharing or splitting amongst the participants. So essentially what it boils down to, and this is worded very vaguely, and I kind of keyed in on this and talked to some people about it from the beginning. It said that the profits are going to be, or the revenue, or is it revenue or profit? The profits are going to be split 50-50 between the teams and the players. Okay?
50-50 between
teams,
organization,
and players.
And player.
And then it goes on to say that the casters for the Professional Esports Association League are going to get the same share as a player. So
and that stands out to me so much. So I made the joke of, well, this is why no one's bitching about this, because all these casters and,
well, some of the voices of the
talking
community,
heads
basically
of the community, all of a sudden are going to make just as much as the players.
Right. So, and I talked about this with several people.
Of course, they're not going to badmouth this.
Yeah, this is what kind of irked me a little bit about it. Is you? So you have seven teams, right? You have seven teams that take 50% of it. So this is the organization. The teams take 50% of the profits, and then you have seven teams for, and then you have
the players of those
six
teams.
People, right? Will you average a coach, say like five and a half?
Right.
I would just say five to make it easy.
Five, yeah. Pull on the players.
Plus a four casters. That's a conservative number, I think. So you've got 50% going to seven teams, and then you have 50% going to 39 individuals. So those teams and those casters are making money off of it, but it's significantly less than what all the teams are making.
So if that assumption is correct, it looks fair. 50-50. What's the big deal? That's as fair as it can get. But you're saying, okay, it's
fair that it's like, but it's not fair in that it's like this is split up much in much larger amounts.
I'll tell you where I have a problem with. Okay, all these people are saying, well, the integrity that all these organizations, how they're multi-owned by different people or investors, however they're, how can we trust them? And now when you have casters making as much money as players, think, like, let that wrap around your head, that there are casters now making as much money as the players who dedicate every minute of their day to doing this, for competing and going through the ups and downs and the BS of it to be a professional gamer, is now making as much as the casters. And you want to talk about biased opinions all of a sudden? If these casters are all of a sudden going to be promised as much as a player, like, who's to say that the paycheck isn't swaying their opinion on one way or the other? And I'm not saying that's human nature, right? You're gonna go where the paycheck goes. But for this sake of being as the equal to a player, casters should never be equal to a player. Like, that's one thing that boggles my mind in esports in general, where, like me, so my other job, other than my other job, I have many jobs. One of my jobs is working in sports media, and there is always a very fine line. Like, all the teams, all the franchises make it very clear. You are the media, we are the team, right? Like, there's you have some friendships, I say that very loosely. You have acquaintances with some pro players. You know, they know your name. You know theirs. You might have their number. But it's still very clear. Like, you're just not going to go have a cup of coffee with these guys or feel like you are part of that scene. Like, I would never, like, I talk to professional athletes on the regular. I would never consider myself part of their scene at all, because it's very clear I am just the media.
Like, you understand, like, I don't actually fit into that ecosystem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yet, in esports, I don't know how it got this way, but we view the media as part of the scene of esports.
I actually had to talk about this with Room on Fire. They recently, I say recently, a couple weeks, announced signing a couple more casters. And I'm pretty sure that that company now, Room on Fire, has under contract like six of the last people to cast a major for Counter-Strike. And Room on Fire was started by Anders and similar. And it kind of bothered me that at the same time that everybody's complaining about people gathering all of these teams up under one company umbrella, all the ownership stuff, that you have this company that now owns all of the casting talent. And for a lot of the, I guess because of how fast the teams fluctuate through people and players, and like players come and kind of go, and it's all very quickly, that casters start to become like the only steady presence inside of the scene. And that's why you have people that are just so fanatic about Simler and Anders and Henry G and Sadakist and James Bardolph and DDK. Like, they have a legit set of fans. Great for them, right? But I feel like the more that they consolidate themselves into that group of the inner circle of casters, the harder it's going to be for people to get in. And I don't understand why people aren't upset about that, but they're upset about WESA trying to sign exclusivity deals with teams. I don't get where the disconnect between the two is. I'm the same page. It's like it's the same thing where people are mad about it on one side, but then okay when people they like do it. And that kind of drives me crazy. I see it a lot recently going on.
Well, and also comparing WESA to PEA, like, look at how the news broke for each one. PEA or P, what are people saying on the streets?
I hope it's PEA, because P is just not good
either.
I don't
like P. I like PEA. So PEA announced it officially through a press release and everything there. People got to read it, kind of understand it. They were very on top of it when they announced it. WESA was essentially announced from a dude who posted a picture, who printed the poster on Reddit.
Yeah, that was awesome. I remember.
And then instantly everybody freaks out because they don't officially know what it is. Like, WESA never even had a chance to come out and say what they were trying to do before people already made up their minds on what it is that they were doing.
Yeah.
And that goes down to fans, writers, you know, content makers, everybody across the board had their opinions on WESA before they really even knew what it was.
Yeah.
WESA never had a chance to prove themselves to the community because people have already written them off as the devil who is trying to ruin esports by what I would say trying to unify a hand-picked set of teams,
and
which to me is not a necessarily bad thing.
And this was actually founded in much of the same way that WESA was. I don't know if you saw Richard Lewis tweeting out immediately after it was announced, was tweeting out like, finally, I was wondering when they were going to say something. The same stuff that went on with WESA happened here, where you've got teams meeting and closed door meetings to discuss creating this association,
which was one of the huge things everyone had an issues with, of why were you trying to hide it.
Yeah.
WESA, why weren't you just being upfront and telling us? Because
so
it's not our business.
But it's like the only reason PEA is people are okay with it is because it's homegrown, it's not ESL. Right, it's the North American teams, and B, there were no leaks before. Like you said, there were no leaks before it actually was announced. So no one had the opportunity to form an opinion before they were able to open their mouths about it.
I promise you, if PEA was leaked prior, it would equally have been viewed the same, because on the surface, it is, there's no telling on what it's going to be in the future, but on the surface, PEA is the same thing as WESA when it comes to a group of organized teams who have ownership in this governing body. Correct? Am I wrong in saying
that?
No,
you're right. No, you're right.
So why all of a sudden people are okay with one but not the other, but then they still want to throw a fit about Virtus Pro and Fnatic and SK all being intertwined with same ownership is ridiculous to me. I just think sometimes people need to take a step back and just think for themselves sometimes. Because there are some voices that can sway public opinion pretty dominantly before anyone even knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. There's people who like to make stories out of nothing just so they have something to talk about. This, though, is the same exact thing as what everyone's throwing a fit about.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because it's North American, they don't have an issue with it.
It even says right on the press release that they're aiming to be the NBA of esports. Which is, I don't understand. What's the tie with the NBA and esports?
Can I give props to them, though? They're not shooting for the NFL. I think people have given up. Like, look, the NFL's pretty big. Let's tone this down. The NBA and the NHL, though, that's
You have all of these NBA players that are now investing in esports teams. Shaq is NRG. You know, that's pretty synonymous now.
Richard Sherman plays for the Seattle Seahawks, said he is looking to get more involved.
Well, and then you had the guy that played for the Detroit Pistons, bought the Renegades. He's now playing for the Celtics. I can't even begin to pronounce his name. You called him the Viking when I pasted his name in the Discord.
Yeah, do you know why I called him the Viking?
Because he's Swedish descent.
Because I can't say his name.
Yeah.
So that's why.
It's... But he just bought the Renegades and relocated into Detroit, and then they went on to beat, I think, like, Fnatic and... Or no, they went on to beat Liquid and Cloud9. Mm-hmm.
And Richard Lewis just came out, I say just came out, like a month ago, came out with a video, very good, by the way, but it was talking about franchising and esports and the pros and cons. I feel like most people swing the way of it's a con because the word franchise is scary.
I would love to see a local Dallas team.
So here's the thing, though. City names, they're not like copyright or anything. Like anyone could throw the name Dallas on anything. Right. And
right.
Like the city's not going to sue you for using their name. That's basically what the Renegades are doing with Detroit. There's no official tie-in. It was a dude from Detroit bought him and decided to throw in Detroit. But where do people like that's going to start somewhere? Like, do people just think he threw Detroit on there for the sake of it looking cool? Like, no, that's probably the first step to seeing an actual team tied to a city. They're probably going to advertise more and more in Detroit. Like, I saw the tweet was saying Detroit has another professional team. Like, they are marketing this as
Detroit's team.
A professional, new professional team for the city, as if any other team was moving to the city. That's how they're marketing it. So don't be surprised later on if you start seeing more and more Renegades or ownerships take that way.
I think that would be a great way to market teams too, like you said, like they're doing. Because even if, like, do you remember that guy who watched the St. Louis Blues game for the first time, and he was watching it because he was looking for a St. Louis baseball game, I think. And ended up watching the Blues and falling in love with hockey and then having, you know, the tweets, and then he got brought out to the game. Like, the only reason he ever did that was because it was the St. Louis team, right? I think that's a good way to help market some of the teams. And it'd also be a great way to get people behind the teams, like, and rooting for the teams and not rooting for the players, like you saw when LG
or the country,
the roster left for LG to go to SK.
Beat down by the nationality tie-ins in esports.
Yeah.
Completely and utterly beaten down with it. at the Star Ladder, you would seriously, on the main stage, you would see this. Nip would win. On the top screen, it said Sweden, and on the bottom said Ninjas in Pajamas. Like,
right.
I honestly shouldn't care that they're from Sweden. Stop marketing it like Sweden just won this tournament. This is why any type of World Cup tournament in esports is dumb, because every tournament turns into a World Cup. Every single one.
Yeah, and that might be why you don't see a whole lot of teams that dip into pools from, you know, players from other countries, right? So you saw Liquid do it, and everyone still chanted USA when Simple was on the team.
Which is fine. I feel like that's normal. Like, that's probably what it should be like. Same reason why, you know, you'd sing the national anthem at a Stars game when half the people are Canadian.
Right.
It's just what you do. But we digress. Franchising, one thing, just as I want to touch on this with franchising, is one thing Richard Lewis was mentioning, though, and I agree, the issue with it is it would be silly to market a team around one city when everything's done online anyways.
Like, yeah.
And half these teams live in California. Now, I don't know the advantage, like, they could just move their team to Texas, right? Like, if Mark Cuban all of a sudden did buy a team, what's stopping him from putting a team house in Texas?
Cuban, do it.
Tax-free state.
I want to see a Dallas team.
It's central located, right? Central time zone. You can fly out anywhere.
As long as Steel is not on the team, I'm going to root for him.
Yeah.
Really,
what if Dallas gets Steel?
I'll move.
But, you know, okay, so here's another thing, though. We're talking about PEA and WESA or any of these organizations trying to create a governing body. Are they planning on, like, trumping Valve? Like, they want to sign all these teams to these, but what are they going to do with, like, ESL? Like, ESL has control over the majors. Most of them.
Well, I mean, you saw that slowly going away, though, with MLG getting the major here in Columbus last year.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying, though. It's not like Valve is giving it to one organization. It's not like, okay, MLG, you are now handling our majors. Like, Valve picks and chooses their majors with no real rhyme or reason.
Yeah, and you know, I could honestly see Valve, because Valve has, especially with Counter-Strike, it's not the same with Dota, but with Counter-Strike has wanted to be hands-off for a long time. I think if Valve saw an organization that was doing right tournament-wise and for the players and stuff like that, I could see Valve saying, go for it. You know, we'll step away. No more majors. You have the prize pool under control. You have the teams under control.
So going completely away from the major system and going more towards
just a league
playoffs
system,
and Super Bowl.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you could see it go the other way where they keep awarding the majors to whoever, and all these associations just say, "Oh, no, yeah, you guys can go play in this because it's the biggest tournament of one of the big three tournaments of the year."
I would love to see. I would love to see WESA for Europe and PEA for North America. And I would love to see that type of split to where you kind of have their own leagues going on each side. And then what's from stopping them from doing a major tournament towards the end of the season? You know, like, you have people qualify for this international tournament. They could call it like... I was just throwing it out there, but the international. I like that. Maybe they could just call it that. Pretty genius.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Well, I guess this is one where we just have to chalk it up to the very generic time will tell. Because the more and more that gets released over PEA, I guess the more and more you're going to see if people really are pissed off about it, or if they're just gonna...
No, they're not gonna be pissed off about
it. See what happens.
They already weathered the worst of whatever storm there was going to be, so...
Yeah. We'll just have to see. There's really no telling with these. There's no telling what's gonna happen, because every time a company says they're gonna become the next NBA, the next governing body...
The PEA is already at a disadvantage, because they're the first... So they announced a very similar setup to what E-League is offering, which is two 10-week seasons a year. But E-League is already putting more money in the prize pool than the PEA is. Downside for E-League, who PEA has not discussed any kind of participation agreement with. They have with ECS. But it's the teams. It's, you know, PEA is the teams. So if you have the choice of competing, you know, if your team is going to compete in the E-League or is going to compete in their own league,
you're going to probably want to pimp out your
league. Yeah, you're going to go to compete in your own league. Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see. It's already, we're in a battle between too many.
I mean, that's already the fourth, league.
We got what?
Season.
E-League, ECS,
E-League, ECS,
ESL. You have the Star.
PEA, Star Ladder. ESC or CIVO, which is the American version of the right. ESL or ESEA. So it's like, so that's five. That's five leagues that people already participate in.
Then you
in.
Throw in iBuy Power Cups and
majors.
North Arenas and majors, and it's never ending. There's right. a reason that we can do this show every week. So maybe we should stop complaining, but I would love to see more of a season-long thing with stability. That's all I want.
Right.
Just something, man.
It's overwhelming something. To watch.
Stop announcing things and then completely abandoning the idea. Like, because even like, look at ECS. Remember when ECS was announced? We were like, oh man, part ownership. This is where it's all beginning. And what, a year later? Almost a year later, it's turned into any other.
You know, I don't think teams. Tournament. ECS really tried. To like do right by the teams. I think we're the first ones to really try. But I think ECS also kind of dug their own grave by showing teams that you could do this, and teams just did it themselves.
Teams are like, wait a minute. Why don't
That's a great
we
idea.
Just make our own? Oy. Let's move on to e-news, though. That's enough PEA for now. Maybe we'll touch on that another episode. E-news. I'll start here. So you know, remember how Evo... They announced that they're going to do Evo Japan, right?
Well, yeah, I heard it was like going to be really big.
Vastly approaching, and it is going to be very big. That actually might be a pretty good success for Evo. Actually, four Japanese investment companies, or companies I should say, invested $1 million into the upcoming tournament.
How has Evo never gone there?
It's just always, it's always been in Vegas as far as I know.
I feel like that's such like a duh idea. Like that's where a
when,
lot
like,
of the competitors
half of the
come
main,
from.
The main dudes are from there?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it looks like it won't affect it because it almost like the hype is so real for this.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see how I don't know why the Chinese Japanese culture fascinates me in the sense of like sporting events. Like, I feel like we get so rowdy and into it. And for some reason, I just always see them, like, not getting it. Like, it always seems like when they do get rowdy, it's because their government told them to. And they just want to, like, China's like, guys, we have to make Evo look good. We have to make Evo look good. We cannot look like that country. So just be happy.
I think they're culturally, I think they're just a little more reserved than we are.
Maybe. Or maybe their government is forcing people to go to Evo. Nonetheless, I don't think the government forced these four companies. It is. Oh, God.
You shouldn't have even gone down that path. Why did you do that?
I Aedis, Hearts United Group. I got that one down. Shook. Four Japanese companies. they invested $1 million. So there you go.
Good work.
You know.
Expertly done.
Whatever. What do you got?
So we briefly talked about this earlier, but just to bring it back up. Smite organization was banned from Pro League. Smite Pro League, which is the league that Hi-Rez has organized for their Smite game.
Hi-Rez, developer Paradigm? Of such games like Global Agenda.
Paradigm? I think that's how you say the name. Paradigm. They've been effectively banned from fielding future Smite teams by Hi-Rez Studios after the developers were forced to mediate contract discussions where Paradigm offered their players $1 salaries, $1 per month salaries, a 25% reduction, I'm sorry, only 25% of their tournament winnings. So the team would get 75% of the tournament winnings, pay the players $1 a month, and the players would receive 0% of licensed in-game merchandise like skins.
How much? 1%?
No, 0%.
Oh, wow.
The players would get nothing. Apparently, this is, had gone on for a while.
How did they think like that was going to go?
You know, like, I don't know.
Like, I don't keep up with the Smite world at all. But in all these other games, like, that's always like number one on everything is how are the players getting screwed today?
Well, and the worst part is like, this is the developer of the game. Like that, I mean, why are you going to mess with the Hornet's Nest? But it gets funnier. Paradigm's lawyer threatened Hi-Rez with legal action for...
On what ground?
I believe it had something to do with the team's talk or the players talking to Hi-Rez outside of the negotiation portion. But Hi-Rez basically said no. They gave the slot, the SPL slot, to the players. So the players still own their spot in the Pro League. Banned Paradigm, and then the interesting connection is apparently the lawyer for Paradigm is also part owner of Cognitive Gaming. So if you're on Cognitive Gaming, I would be aware of their contract coming up, if you have one, to just kind of keep an eye on your salary, make sure it's not a dollar.
Fascinating. That is insane how he thought like this was just going to be okay. But props to Hi-Rez for taking action and being like, no, not that, not in our game. Not in our game. Oh, well, maybe one day. Maybe Smite can have a governing body and a players union before CSGO. Maybe get you more than that $1.
Actually, so here's a quote from the... I know we're trying to move on, but this just cracks me up. You'll probably laugh at this. The lawyer said that they would be withdrawing from Smite no matter the outcome of Hi-Rez's investigation.
I don't think Hi-Rez cares.
And Hi-Rez is like, all right,
like,
you're out.
Good riddance. Like, that's what we wanted all along.
Like, yeah,
what are you doing, man?
It easy.
Okay, sure, man. I have here, did you see the teams for ESL 1 New York?
No, who do
we
got?
So they're doing like a round robin Swedish type of bracket. So there's no groups. It's just one giant thing. So that's cool.
That's different, yeah.
Yeah. So one team is still to be announced in the North American qualifier, but you have Fnatic, old Fnatic.
Not like, Godsend Fnatic.
Not Godsend Fnatic, but Fnatic, the actual organization Fnatic. You have G2, Team Liquid, Na'Vi, SK, Virtus Pro, and Astralis, and one to be announced. That is a pretty stacked one. When you compare their tournament to ours in Austin.
When is that one?
October 1st and the 2nd.
Oh, so soon.
Yeah, but it's just a nice little two-day tournament, man.
Think we can make it to New York?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I have enough on my plate, especially towards that time of year. I would love to, but I'm going to assume it's kind of expensive to stay in New York.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's probably not like a cheap hotel or anything like that.
But upside, we have friends in New Jersey and you can take a train into the city.
I'll look. I highly doubt that's possible. Like, if I can get tickets sub 100, how much are plane tickets?
Plane tickets? Yeah, that's not happening.
Right. Okay, so we're out. We're out until next year. I'm getting married.
We'll see you next year, ESL.
Yeah, I'm getting married. I'm going to go to E-League next year. I'll go to New York. I don't know.
Maybe we'll have full-time esports employment.
Maybe, yeah, maybe we can just get paid to do it and it won't matter. Then I won't have to justify it to the ball and chain.
The old ball and chain.
You have anything else? That's all I got.
No, I'm good.
Awesome. Awesome stuff, man. Let me reach over here so I can play the outro music.
You were not queued up for that. Was I supposed to have another story?
Well, I thought you had another story, but...
I let you down.
You let me down. What else is new? Episode.
My entire life is a disappointment.
Hey, Brandon got a new dog, everyone.
I did. She's kind of mean to people, though.
Failed to bring that up. He adopted a little puppy.
She's a year old.
There you go.
She's probably pissing all over the carpet right now while I'm here recording this.
Maybe when we start doing live streams, you'll see it. So you lost the one advantage of us going to your place for that.
Thanks. She doesn't bark, though. That's the upside.
Thanks a lot. Episode 41 is done and in the books. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did or if you didn't, let us know on our Twitter, @TheCenterRing. Or you can go to our website, tcr.gg. There's a little contact box. Let us know what's up. We'll also have all of our links to the Twitter, YouTube that's rarely updated, everything on there. I think it might even show our Instagram that I posted to twice.
Oh, we do have an Instagram.
I'm not a social media hub. Twitter's about where I draw the line. No Snapchat for me.
We have a TCR Snapchat. It'd be a total waste.
It would be very... so here I am at my computer again.
It's like, hey guys, watch an eSports.
Right.
Turning the camera What's around.
Anyways, you can follow me on Twitter @PirateMushroom. Brandon is @BrandAnyNew.
Right? Still, yep.
Still haven't changed it. We will be back next week. Talk a little bit more CSGO. Maybe some Overwatch if anything happens in that. Who knows? There's always breaking news after we post the show, so I'm sure we will discuss that. But until then, thank you so much for listening. Again, the website is www.tcr.gg. I think we are going to get a show Discord up and going. Make that public. So just join that and be cool. My one request is just be cool.
Well, you're welcome to join, make fun of us. Give us suggestions for e-news if you have a story you want to share.
If any of our personal friends say anything, just ignore it. They're idiots. Don't take it personal. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week for episode 42. Until then, take it easy.